show on FM Talk 106.5. 251-343-0106. So come on the program. State Representative Andrew Sorrell, about an hour from now. Our good friend of the program, Judy Barlow with the Eastern Shore Republican Women's Club. And for whatever reason, we still do it. It's like a tradition. Mondays with Dale Jackson from WVNN in Huntsville, Alabama. So please make sure you stay tuned for that. Joining us now, he represents us here in the 1st Congressional District of Alabama, Congressman Jerry Carl. Good morning, Congressman. How are you?
Good morning, Jeff. How are you doing, sir?
Living the dream, as one might say, but no complaints from me. What about yourself? Obviously, D.C. was a busy place over the weekend.
It was. Of course, I stayed home. We're off on what they call summer break, which don't get confused by that. That means we just get to come home for a month and work in our district, which we need to very badly. But had a great weekend other than the vote yesterday. I would say it was a great weekend.
Well, the Inflation Reduction Act, which not even Democrats that listen to this program are like, nah, it's not really going to do that. But I guess it ought to be an Elections Have Consequences Act because, and I know you're probably tired of hearing it could have been a lot worse, but it's not Build Back Better. It's not all Green New Deal. I mean, it is incrementally, I suppose. But if this is what Democrats have to hang their hat on, maybe we have dodged the bullet. They didn't give Puerto Rico a D.C. statehood. They didn't pack the court. And they didn't do away with the filibuster.
Well, I agree. I mean, anything you talk about can always be worse. But, I mean, there's some things in that bill, Jeff, that just really got me nervous wrecked. I came in from church yesterday, dinner with the wife or lunch with the wife. I came in and I was set up and because I knew that I was anticipating the vote to be around that time. And once that vote went through, I haven't had a chance to dissect this completely, but I do have some punch notes on it. And it is just, it's made me nauseated it's actually passed. Someone's got to explain to me why we need 78,000 new IRS agents. Now, this will make the IRS larger than the Pentagon. So this is the new domestic Pentagon, as far as I'm concerned, dealing with the American citizens. And I'm not one to scream fire and try to get everybody to run out of a room, but we've been quietly watching as the IRS has just been loading up on ammunition. Now, why does an IRS agent need ammunition? But they've been stockpiling ammunition. Now they've got 87,000 new people. And I'm telling you, folks need to be worried. They need to be worried, Republicans, Democrats, Independents, everybody, because the IRS has the capability of coming in and flashing a badge and going through everything you've got. They do not have to go through the normal court procedures. I've got a businessman here in town that has shut his business down completely. He has been almost 6 years shut down, and they're holding about $3.5 million of his money. And he can't get it out. I can't help him get it out. We've all been trying to struggle and trying to help him get it out. So don't underestimate the power of the IRS. And now they're unhinged. Now they're going to have 78,000 more IRS agents. They have $80 billion to come after you now.
Well,
in this bill, you got $750 billion in new spending. You got hundreds of billion in new taxes. Don't think you can spend money if you're not collecting money. And the only place to collect money in the government realm is out of the pockets of the taxpayers. That's where we get all of our money from. So, they call it a Build Back Better light version. I like it a whole lot better than I did the 300 billion, trillion, whatever the original one was. It was just off the rail. But you can't spin yourself out of recession. I'm old enough again to remember the recessions of the 80s. My wife and I talked about it last night. We weren't smart enough to understand a recession. We just thought it was hard times we were going through, which I guess made it easier, but on us. But looking back, those were some hard, hard times for this country.
What do you, we'll just get back to this IRS and this, have you, since you've been in Congress, have they been clamoring to expand their ranks like they are here? I mean, has this been something that, that the IRS has been pushing for?
Well, every government agency, they can't say that their department is profitable. This is the difference between a government department and a private company. And my private company, when we make a profit, we can show that profit and say, you know, we're profitable and this is how we're profitable. And it may be from downsizing and employees. It may be from a lot of things. But the only thing a government agency can do to, quote, unquote, to be successful is to grow. So for the IRS to grow 78,000 employees, they're going to scream, look how good we are. And we're doing our job so great, we need 78,000 more people. Well, hogwash. I totally disagree with that. Because, you know, the IRS has not been anybody's friend. If anybody can prove to me that they've been their friend, please contact me and let me know. But this is dangerous. You're going to take 87,000 new people, IRS, that's got to get out and prove themselves. You're going to see a lot of individuals, low income, middle class, that are going to get these quote unquote audits right out of the blues. I talked to a lady the other day. They misread one of her checks. It was a $6,000 check, and they logged it in as a $60,000 check. It caused a flag, and she's on year three trying to get it straightened out. Which they seize they lock up your assets. There's so many things that they can do. I'm not saying the IRS is horrible. We need them in a lot of circumstances, but that many, come on, and that much ammunition. I think the only time, and I may be wrong, but I heard them on a program talking about the only discharge of weapons that the IRS has had was 7 discharges within the offices that they misdischarged 7 or 6 times. But why would they stockpile that much ammunition? It's scary. I'm sorry, but again, I'm not one to scream fire and try to run out of the room. I just don't like what I see here.
Well, this has got to be something. When you guys get subpoena power, assuming you do win Congress and after the November election, and all signs are pointing to that you ought to be able to get to the bottom of, right? I mean, like, we ought to be able, because I've been, you know, these reports about the IRS and other bureaucracies stockpiling ammunition and firearms or whatever, they've been around for a while, probably going all the way back to the Obama administration, right?
Yeah, I agree.
So getting Congress can play a role getting to the bottom of, you know, just like what exactly are you? Because here's the way it works, Congressman. Whenever somebody brings us up like a Rand Paul, they're dismissed as conspiracy tinfoil hat wearing kook.
I agree. And I've been very quiet and just kind of watched it from the background because I don't want to be labeled that way. But seeing this much money poured in the IRS, somebody's going to be using the IRS for political purposes. There would be no other reason to try to get the IRS in that position. You know, from a congressional standpoint, dealing with the IRS is kind of like dealing with the Postal Service. If they don't want to deal with you, they just don't deal with you. You know, they'll tell you it's an ongoing investigation. They'll tell you they can't release that information. There's so many things that they'll just shut you down about. From a congressional standpoint, you know, once we get letters, we're dead in the water. Same way with the Postal Service. You know, you really can't challenge it and go after them. We've been trying to get a post office put back in Spanish Fort for 2 years. I mean, it's just a steady fight. They don't have to listen to us. They really don't. But the only way we can get control of that is to get the purse strings and start pulling the purse strings back. I've said this about NOAA. I've said this about so many of these bureaucracies that you know, we've just got to start controlling the money, start pulling the money back. But when you get one bill that just that you know that takes $80 billion and turns it over to the IRS in one lick, man, that's tough. That's not good stuff at all. So that, you know, yesterday the original question was, you know, how to feel about it. It made me nauseated yesterday when I saw it go through. Now we come to the house. We'll fly in Friday. Hopefully I can get in early. We'll fly in Friday. They'll bring it up on the floor. We'll vote on it. I don't think you'll get three Democrats to vote against it. If you do, I'll just be all excited. But my guess is Pelosi's already counted her votes before the ink dries on this one, and she'll know exactly whether it'll pass through or not.
Well, so maybe at least they can make it hard for her, maybe. But anyway, we're joined by Congressman Jerry Carl here on the program. Some polling, and I know how polls can be sometimes, especially when they get so much wrong, but it still looks like a good picture for Republicans in November. But it does. It just show Democrats gaining a little bit of ground in some places. And people talk about, and now I don't believe this, but a lot of left-wing pundits think the Kansas abortion vote, there's some signs here that it's not a foregone conclusion. Are any of that have you concerned, Congressman?
You know, anytime you give up any ground in an election, it should concern you. We knew the Supreme Court case, if it came out the way it did, that it would cost us a few points. But I think most everyone's going to be voting with their pockets, you know, and the idea of the state being able to make the judgment call on the abortion issue, I think makes the average person feel better about it, if that makes sense. Because their state is going to be more in line with their thoughts and their beliefs. But Kansas, I don't really understand why that's such a focal point of everyone. Because the way I understand it, the law basically says that they didn't want the state to change it. Okay. Well, we've got some pretty strong laws here in the state of Alabama on abortion, if you want to go, and Mississippi. If you want to go to those and take the same vote, they don't want to change it. What does that mean then? Does that mean they don't want to change it to make it any looser? So I don't think that's going to be a big issue coming up in November. I think it will affect it a little bit. But what have the Democrats got to get people out to vote? I mean, they haven't got in so many of these districts, they've got people that have been in office forever that have done absolutely nothing. Now they've scored a few points by giving away money that we don't have, that we're in the middle of a recession. Gas prices will still remain almost twice to what they were this time 2 years ago. I mean, we're still under $4 a gallon. So, I mean, the average voter is still hurting. And in a recession, you can cover for it for so long, but sooner or later it's going to catch up. I think 2024 is when the Democrat Party is really going to take a bath on this recession. We're just beginning to go into it right now. So can we stop it? We can certainly put us in a position where it won't be quite as damaging. But we're in it, as far as I'm concerned. I said that 2 months ago when I saw those last set of numbers.
Well, I guess with the recession and this discussion is, maybe Democrats know the writing's on the wall and everything is uphill from beyond 2022. Get what they can, but they're using the recession to try to pass legislation. They're using the economic situation, but where it's obvious that even Democrats. So we had Robert Kennedy text into the program. Don't even think that this is going to do anything to reduce inflation, and they're going to. They're just using it to get what they can now, and they will pay the political price later.
2024 is when it's going to really show up. So you're looking at a lot of small businesses that will be, you know, that are going to, you know, the tax cut, you know, I don't understand how it can be a tax cut when you're raising taxes on small businesses again. The only people that we the government, can get money from are the taxpayers. So unless we cut back internally in the government, that's one way, but it's still your tax money, our tax money, or we raise taxes. You're going to raise taxes on small businesses, so you're going to get it from somewhere. The small businesses have got to pass it on in their pricing of their products and their services. So, I mean, it's not rocket science. It's just common sense. So, you know, the people we elect November, I tell you, November's going to be strong nationwide. And I don't want people in my district to misunderstand what's going to happen in November. They've got to get out and vote. I mean, if you're a Republican, get out and vote. We need to show some of the strongest numbers we've ever shown in history, period. The Democrat Party's got to understand that we can band together and we can get things done. And then, once we do get in office, talking about the Republicans, we've got to get some stuff done. We can put the bills together. We can get them passed. And getting them passed to the president is going to be the trick.
Congressman, we've got to leave it there. We're out of time, but you're always very kind to come on this program, and let's talk again very soon.
Thank you, Jeff. Take care.
All right. All right, guys, we got to get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Poehler Show at FM Talk 106.5. And you gave me nothing in return.